Welcome, everyone, to the Laker Outsider podcast. Boy, do we have a fun game to talk about tonight. A crazy win, a huge shot from Brandon Ingram. There was no way we weren't going to podcast after that game tonight. It was probably one of the most fun games, Laker games, in a couple years, really. So for now, we have just myself and Hani. I'm sure Anthony will be joining us soon. But Hani, how loud did you yell when Brandon Ingram's three went down?
I'm not even exaggerating when I say I yelped. Like, it wasn't really a yell. It was a yelp. I sounded like a dog. And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to have pets in this apartment. So if somebody comes knocking at my door during this podcast, I apologize, but I'm blaming the Lakers.
Worth it. I 100% thought I was going to get a noise violation because it is 11. It was about 11 o'clock or so by the end of that game. And I can't even, that's the loudest I've yelled for a Laker game probably since Kobe's last game. Like, that was so much, that was such a fun game with such a fun ending. We'll start off with the guy who hit the last shot, Ingram. Goes for 21-7-6 tonight. Hit the huge shot late. I mean, what'd you think of how Ingram played tonight, Hani?
I thought he was phenomenal, and I think it even goes beyond the box score, because if you look at his numbers shooting-wise, he wasn't very good at all. He shot 7 of 21. Taking 21 shots to get 21 points isn't efficient at all, but Ingram is the kind of guy that when he plays well, he can do so many things to affect the team and to impact the game, and you saw that the passing was amazing. He got easy looks for his teammates. The rebounding to make sure that a guy like Embiid wouldn't be able to basically toast the Lakers when they're going small. The defense was really good, making it difficult on Ben Simmons. He just did a little bit of everything. And then when the Lakers needed him to hit a clutch shot at the end, a three-point shot, which he's still not very comfortable with, he nailed it. And I thought this was probably the best game I've seen him play, even though it wasn't an efficient offensive output.
The confidence he's playing with right now, and this isn't even necessarily anything new, like the last probably 15, maybe 20 games at this point, he's been playing at such a high level of confidence, and that makes a huge difference when you have a shot like he had tonight, a game winner on the road. I don't think last year's version of Brandon Ingram probably has the confidence to make that shot. This year's version stepped into it, not a moment of hesitation, and buried the shot. Probably the biggest shot of his career, short career. Hopefully they'll be bigger. But, man, what a huge shot. What a huge game from him. He's been playing at a level that I didn't expect him to play at this year. And I was even one of the people that was pretty confident, even at the beginning of the year, that he was going to be good, that he was going to be fine. But my word, he's putting together just a string of really great games. And like I said, this has been going on. He had the pretty rough start. Honestly, it was almost around the time where it came out that the Lakers kind of eased back their expectations for him. Yeah. It was about that time when he kind of flipped a switch and it seemed like some of the pressure was taken off of his shoulders. And I don't know what the conversation was, but it seemed like it went something like, you know, just go out there and play. And he's been doing just that.
Yeah, because he shouldn't be pigeonholed into just being a scorer, because he can do so much more. And he's not a very, very good scorer yet. Like, he can drive and he's been really good at that, but he can't shoot yet. He's just not consistent with that. So allowing him to play his game in all sorts of different ways has let him become so much more aggressive, but aggressive in a good way, where it's not just him looking for his own shot. And I love so much that Luke is letting him handle the ball a lot more and initiate the offense, because not only is that good for him, because if he's going to be like the superstar that they think he is, he's going to need to learn that, but it's also really good for Lonzo, because it eases the pressure on him. And I think that helped Lonzo have one of his better games of the year too.
Yeah, we'll touch on Lonzo here in a minute. The coming into tonight, Basketball Reference hasn't updated the stats. The last 18 games, Ingram was averaging 16.4 points, 5.8 rebounds, just under 3 assists, and shooting 48% from the field. He was actually shooting 32% from 3, which will – it was a small sample size. He's averaging 1.5 threes a game. That'll go up even tonight. So he's been playing at such a high level. An interesting thing, too, I don't know if I've made note of it. I know a lot of people talked about it earlier. He's almost – I don't know what the stats would say. I'd have to look into it. His mid-range game has just been lights out this year.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were angry – I don't want to say angry. We're kind of harping on him to shoot threes, quit shooting the mid-range jumpers. It's interesting to me – I mean, obviously, we've talked a lot about his driving, too. It's interesting to me. He seems kind of focused on kind of improving those two dynamics of his game. And I don't know, I guess kind of working on the three-point shot later. I know he's reworked his shot this summer. He's probably still going to need another summer reworking it. What have you thought kind of the way his game has evolved to him really driving and either getting to the rim or getting to the elbow and taking those jumpers?
I just like that he's doing what he's confident doing and what he's comfortable doing, because like you said, he's not a good shooter yet. And even if he has improved in the mid range, it's still pretty inconsistent. But he can get to the rim. He's gotten a little bit stronger. His balance when he gets to the rim is so much better in how he absorbs contact and he can still finish through it. That's just been phenomenal. And I see if I can look at the numbers right now. Yeah, he's shooting. So last year he shot about 61% from 0 to 3 feet, which is basically inside the restricted area, which is, you know, not great, but okay at least for a rookie. This year he's up that to 66%. So you're seeing marked improvements there. And like you said, it's going to take him a while to get that shot going full time. So for now, being able to still be an impactful player by just driving and not doing too much and not doing things he's not comfortable with is helping the team win. And it's helping him kind of gain that confidence moving forward.
You mentioned the next guy we'll talk about. We have a lot to cover tonight. We're going to move kind of fast because there's a lot to talk about from that game tonight.
Yeah.
Well, Lonzo tonight flirted with for a little bit with a 5x5, which I believe you said he'd be the youngest player to do it by 3 years.
Yeah, the youngest player to ever have a 5x5 is Andre Kirilenko, and he was 22 years and 288 days old.
And
Lonzo just turned 20, so.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, a 5x5 is at least 5 points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Tonight, Lonzo finished with 10 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 blocks, and 3 steals. He shot 5 of 11. He missed a couple threes. But overall, you mentioned it. It was one of his better games, I thought. He seems to play better on the road, and tonight was another example of that. He really kind of let the offense come to him, didn't really force anything, like seemed like he's done at times, and was really just kind of in the flow all night. And you saw it at the very end. He drove a baseline, let the defense come to him, and knew exactly where Ingram was for the game winner. I mean, were you impressed with Lonzo tonight?
Yeah, he definitely, to me, this was one of the best games he's played all year. And I think the part of the game that really amplifies it is that fourth quarter when the Sixers kind of made a furious comeback, come back in the game, tie it up. And then down the stretch, the Lakers basically go straight up pick and roll Lonzo and Julius Randle, and Lonzo makes the right play every single time. And then the last possession of the game, again, he makes the right play. drives down, gets the defense to kind of crater to him, and then finds Brandon Ingram for a wide open three that ended up being the game winner. He ended up finishing with 8 assists and 0 turnovers. It's just so hard to find a rookie that can't, that doesn't make the mistake of a turnover for a full game, especially one that has the ball in his hands that often and is passing the ball that often. And I think that's kind of been like his biggest skill, maybe outside of like rebounding as a point guard, is that composure that he has, where especially like today. So the big news today is that LaVar Ball has his two sons, his two other sons signed with an agent, which means they won't be playing in the NCAA and they're trying to go to Europe. And then on top of that, the Philly fans, always ruthless, they start booing him from the opening tip, don't let up the entire game. And Alonzo to be able to keep his head straight that entire game and make every single right decision, play solid defense, that's super impressive to me.
You mentioned something, I was trying to pull it up, but something we, I don't think, talk about enough at times with Alonzo, he does not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And it's something that, as much as we love D'Angelo Russell, that was a weakness. He turned the ball over a lot. And so to have a point guard that's the exact opposite, as you said, 8 assists, no turnovers, that's obviously probably one of his better games, if not his best game in that regard. I'm not going to be able to get this pulled up in time, but he's been like that all season, which, as you said, with somebody who's trusted with the ball as much as he is, who has the ball, and not even that, just has the ball playing at the tempo that the Lakers play at. They're number 2 in pace. We just looked before we went live, but they're 600ths of a point behind the Suns. So they're basically number 1 in pace. You have a rookie point guard out there who just isn't making mistakes like you would expect a rookie point guard to do. And all that is to go with a level of defense that I don't think any of us expected either. He's just been crazy impressive. I know everybody's talked about his shooting, which may be rightfully so, but I've just been so impressed with just basically everything else but his shooting. His shooting's kind of the one that sticks out. That's the one the casual fans are going to look at and, oh, Lonzo went 5 of 14 or something from the field. Yeah, but they don't see that he had, you know, 7 assists and 1 turnover and stuff like that. So those are the types of things that make me not really worried about Lonzo's future, even with some of these shooting woes.
Yeah, and what you were talking about, his few turnovers, Dylan is assisting us. So he said there's 3 games that Lonzo's had all year with 0 turnovers. And maybe his best game in that regard was against the Warriors, where he had 10 assists and only 1 turnover. That's against the Warriors, who are an incredibly good defensive team.
Yeah, they're an incredibly good everything team.
Yeah, that's it.
The next one we also mentioned, Julius Randle tonight. I can't remember who tweeted it. One of the Lakers beat writers said, it might have been Tanya Ganguly, said, if the Lakers win tonight, it's because of Julius Randle, which is 100% true. He finishes with 16 points, 4 assists, only 3 rebounds, but fourth quarter tonight, really on both ends of the court. He was a man possessed. It spoke volumes about how far he's even come this year. As you mentioned, late in the game, they're just running straight pick and rolls with him and Lonzo. And he's getting the ball full speed going at the rim and finishing more often than not or drawing a foul. And that's not even to mention defensively. I know the stats, Embiid had, another crazy night. I thought he defended Embiid well.
Yeah.
Well, as good as you can. What do you think? I mean, were you impressed with Randle as well tonight?
Yeah. I think, like, pound for pound, he might have been the best player for the Lakers all game. But, I mean, you can argue Ingram. You could even argue Lonzo. But Randall, like you said, the numbers aren't going to show it at all. But going up against the dude that's, I don't know how many pounds bigger than him and how many inches taller than him.
A lot and a lot.
Yeah. And defending him as well as he could. Again, yes, Embiid had a huge game. But there were times where you could see Randall bothering him, or at least, you know, fouling him and making him try to earn it at the free throw line. And then offensively, he was phenomenal again, just so aggressive. When he goes full speed at the rim, there's nobody that can stop him. Even with the whole issue of length and the issue of not using his right hand, there's nobody that can stop him. He had a monster dunk on Embiid in the first quarter. He had a monster one, I think, on Rashawn Holmes in the fourth quarter. He was just possessed. It was, I mean, incredible. I don't know. I don't even have words for Randall anymore because of the way that he's improved from last year to this year. As much as I loved him last year and I thought he would be a good player, I did not expect this. And just every single game, he's proving that he's a really, really good player, and he's going to make it so difficult for the Lakers to potentially move on from him during the summer when they want to pursue free agents.
Yeah, there's a lot of points that you made there. I'll start off. well, no, there's a lot. There's a lot I want to talk about too.
You can call me Julius Ramble. Hey,
that's the end of the podcast. I'll start off. He played 30 minutes tonight. Well, 29:53, 30 minutes basically. Part of that was because Lopez and really every Laker big was in foul trouble. But he was trusted at the end of the game, which says something, which again we'll talk about later. But he was trusted at the end of the game to handle Embiid. He forced the one turnover. I think the Met. You're not going to stop Embiid, which is something I think fans kind of struggle with sometimes. You're not going to stop him every possession. Yeah. If you play good defense, you force him into a tough shot, and he makes it, so be it. I thought Julius did a good job of making him work to get the baskets that he did get. And then offensively, he was, especially late, he was, I don't know how I want to say it, he was composed in a way that he hadn't always been before. There were a lot of times he got the ball tonight with just a wide open lane in front of him. And in years prior, he would just go flying right at the rim and maybe get called for an offensive foul or be too out of control, stuff like that. And tonight there were a couple times where he finished in traffic or he got to the rim and then slowed himself down enough to convert the layup, some stuff like that. The jump he's made this year, like you said, we're two of the biggest Randall stands on Lakers Twitter. Neither of us expected it. If anybody says they expected it, they're lying. This has been insane. And as you said, I think he's playing himself into a long-term contract with the Lakers. It's going to be really, really, really hard to let this guy go, seeing the improvements he made in his body, in his game, mentally, and just seeing how well he fits with where the direction the Lakers want to go now.
And I think that's the biggest key. Like, the way he impacts this team, almost every single game you can point to Randall as being one of the major keys in the Lakers either winning the game or making a big comeback when they were down a lot or whatever else. Almost every single game you can make that point.
Well, yeah, 100%. He's the motor to this team. And we said it last time we were on here with Anthony, I believe it was after the Golden State game maybe. Randall has become our Draymond Green. In the way that he makes this team go. He's the engine to this team. This team isn't the same when he's not playing well. and all those things applied to the Warriors before they went and got Durant and become just the monsters. When Draymond didn't play well, the Warriors struggled. When Julius doesn't play well, the Lakers struggle. Tonight, when Julius is playing out of this world, they're able to go into Philly, a team that's probably a playoff team, and win on the road. Super impressive from him. And I'll throw this out here. I said it in the Slack a couple days ago, and it was really bad timing because then the other player went and had a ridiculous game. Would you rather have Julius Randle or DeMarcus Cousins going forward the next 4 or 5 – we'll make it 5 years because that'd be what the max is for Randle.
It sucks because I'm usually against – like, I think a lot of people crown young players super early and they're saying, hey, this guy's already better than an all-star, all-NBA big man. Boogie Cousins is amazing. And I think he gets underrated a lot because of some of the antics and the texts and all that sort of stuff. He's an amazing player. That said, for this team, for this Lakers team, it's really hard for me not to make a case for Randle because, like you said, he's the engine. He's the heart and soul. He's a dude that will get into a fight for his teammates and go shove and foul Jamal Murray just because he dribbles around Lonzo a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sort of stuff is kind of underrated. And on top of that, the versatility he brings defensively and him being the biggest key for the Lakers, having a top 10 defense more than a quarter of the season in, I don't think you can put a price on that. And, you know, I might be biased in how much I love Randle's game. And so, you know, you can take this with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I would probably take him over Boogie for this team specifically.
The fact that it's even a debate speaks volumes about how far Julius has come. I would – God, that's hard. I put that in our Lakers Outsider Slack. We talked about it a little bit. And then Boogie went and had like 40, 22, and 7 or 7 blocks or whatever. It's really hard to say no to Boogie. The Lakers might not even have to. They could potentially have both of them next year. But I don't know. It was kind of an interesting debate that I thought of because the way Julius is playing, it's really hard to foresee a future Lakers team without him on it. That team would operate at a lot. They would operate a lot differently without Julius Randle out there.
Yeah.
And that's becoming more and more evident and more of a situation that the Lakers are going to have to contemplate and figure out. One last main point, and then we're just going to do some rapid fire stuff here. We talked about those three guys. It was really a balanced effort tonight. 7 guys are in double figures. Ingram had 21. He led the way. But then Clarkson has 16. Randle has 16. KCP is 13. Nance, Lopez, and Lonzo are all in double figures. It's not something we – I mean, this has always been kind of a really balanced team. But to see everybody this balanced – playing at this high of a level is not really something we've seen a lot this year. How kind of vital was that tonight?
I think it was good. Sometimes I struggle with the balance thing because I think you see it a lot with bad teams. Like bad young teams tend to be pretty balanced because they just don't have that sort of player they can go to.
They're all together, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, somebody's got to get the shots up and somebody's going to end up scoring on any given possession. But I think the Lakers tonight were good in that they knew their moments when they had to go to a specific player or a specific, you know, play, whether it was Ingram driving or it was Clarkson getting something going off the bench when they needed it, or it was that Lonzo and Randle pick and roll to finish out the game. I think it was just kind of the team kind of exploiting matchups or figuring out what was working at that time and kind of going back at it for a few possessions. And I think that's kind of a good sign for how the players themselves are learning, just understanding when to take their own shots and when to get shots for their teammates. And then also Luke Walton kind of improving and figuring out better ways to get his guys better looks and better offense, really.
There's a lot of ways, I think, to look. As you said, it's sometimes a lot of bad teams are really balanced. The way this team wants to play, you would kind of expect the scoring to be balanced. There's not really one guy that – I mean, Ingram's probably coming into that now to be the guy on the team. They defer to him a bit toward the end of game – or end of quarters. We saw tonight, end of the game, he was the guy that Lonzo passed to originally. But even with that – this is an offense that, when run well, when run correctly, anybody could be the scorer. And that was kind of the case tonight. A couple different guys stepped up in spots, played really well. We'll talk about a couple. And Clarkson has been another guy who's red hot. He had 16 tonight. He had his normal kind of stretch, hit a couple big threes. Carried the Lakers through some stretches where they were really struggling offensively. KCP had a couple big plays. He had the big and one layup. He had the big steal late, got to the line where the Lakers were absolutely abysmal at the line. That's something we haven't talked about. I didn't write it down. It's becoming a more and more of a problem. They were 12 of 24 tonight in a three-point game. But, yeah, I mean, even Lopez tonight at times looked serviceable. He was getting abused defensively a bit, but he returned the favor a couple times, had a little dream shake there. Hit a three, stuff like that. So, yeah, this team I think would – as I said, when the offense is working as it should, I think this team will have nights like this where a lot of guys are in that kind of 10 to 16 point range. And maybe we see Ingram kind of start to separate himself. But I think this is something that we can expect going forward until we get LeBron and PG next year.
Even then, honestly, you got to – kind of put it in LeBron and Paul George's heads when they come in that they have to defer to Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Julius Randle.
It's going to be real awkward in those pitch meetings with PG and LeBron to tell them they're coming off the bench next year. But hopefully that they'll understand where our priorities are. Couple rapid-fire things, and then we'll head off. Start off, couple guys probably deserve a little bit of credit. We've been kind of hard on them lately. The one name I didn't really talk about that was in double figures tonight, Larry Nance, I thought he played really well. He was in the fourth quarter in some of those late lineups. What'd you think of his play tonight?
Really good. Did a lot of the Larry things. Just playing solid defense, rebounding the ball. His energy was great, especially in those like smaller lineups that they play, having or even with Brooke Lopez, who's not really a good rebounder. Having Nance there to kind of counteract what Joel Embiid can do on the glass, I think it's really important. And you know, he was hustling all over the court. He had that one play I think was kind of his best play of the night where. He defended a couple guys and he hustled out to the perimeter to get a steal, basically deflected it to a teammate and then got the, just kept running pass ahead and got the dunk. And I thought that was kind of just, you know, a good summary of his whole game, just, energy and good defense.
When Luke says he does the little things, that basically just look at that play. Cause that pretty much encapsulates when he's playing well. That pretty much encapsulates Larry Nance's game. Luke Walton tonight. He's another guy who has been taking some slack, taking some heat. There were a couple things that you liked from tonight. What kind of stood out to you with Luke tonight?
Yeah, I thought Luke was really good, and I think he made smart rotations this time, where the big one to me was late in the fourth quarter, he actually brought Nance and Lopez back in. And, of course, you know, Lakers Twitter goes crazy. But, you know, I thought it was an all right decision because Lopez was the only big body who could, one, try and stop Embiid, and then on the other end actually do something offensively because Bogut can only do one of those things. Then he saw Lopez get kind of roasted a couple times in a row by Embiid, and Walton made the quick decision to pull him because if Lopez can't do anything to slow down Embiid, then you might as well bring Randle, who's done a lot more offensively in this game and kind of gives you more versatility on defense to at least be able to like switch out on the perimeter or, you know, front Embiid a little bit and make him work a little bit more. And I thought that was a really good decision. And then the decision to let the guys kind of figure out the last shot on their own without calling a timeout. He got criticized for doing the opposite against Golden State in regulation. I thought that one was questionable, but I was all right with it because they didn't really have numbers and Randle looked like he might be dribbling into a turnover. This time he kind of just let the guys figure it out. He had the right lineup in to take advantage offensively, and obviously it worked out. So I thought that was another one of his good decisions.
And I think a important part of that final play was that the ball was in Lonzo's hands and not Randle's hands. Lonzo, a little more comfortable with the ball against the defense. It's kind of scrambling around, which we saw. He got it open in the corner and let the defense come to him. He drove to the lane, let the defense collapse. I thought that was a perfect decision. Let them attack against a defense. It's kind of scrambling around. There's one thing I wanted to talk about. It was interesting lineup we've kind of been clamoring for to see more minutes from. I think you and I even said it was probably the best lineup, or I think Anthony used the term Hamptons and lineup or whatever. It was Lonzo, KCP, Ingram, Kuzma, and Randle.
Yeah.
First half, they played really well in a extended stretch and helped build that lead that they had. They ended up in 6 minutes and 8 seconds. It was used twice, so they used it a little bit in the second half. They were +3 on the night. First half, they played 3 minutes and 50 seconds, and they were +5. So we used them about the same amount, a little less in the second half. I really liked that lineup. You mentioned Luke had a good game. I thought so, too, and I thought that lineup is not one we've seen a lot. It's one everybody on Lakers Twitter right away when they got out there was going crazy for, and it worked. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come. That lineup played well, and we could see more of it.
I think maybe the one thing you could criticize Luke for in this game is not playing Clarkson a lot, because I think Clarkson only played like 14 minutes despite shooting the ball really well. But even then, I think he kind of opted for more defense with KCP, and it worked because their defense was just phenomenal tonight. So I think he made the right decisions all around.
Yeah, they forced the Sixers into 18 18 turnovers. Lakers only had 11. And then we've kind of talked a little bit about this. I thought another big takeaway from the team tonight shows how much they kind of been learning. There were a couple times with Embiid. Obviously, Embiid absolutely destroyed the Lakers last game. They did things a little bit differently tonight that I thought was noticeable. I don't know if it was things that they harped on from the film. It was Embiid being kind of too hyped up. There were a couple times he was biting on pump fakes pretty hard. Lopez got a layup. I think Randle, the dunk he had came off of a
pump fake.
Yeah, a pump fake, and then dunked all over Embiid. Like that, it was nice to see them kind of learn. And then late in the game, you saw Randle, the intensity he had to not even let the entry pass get there, which, I mean, that's something you should probably do with anybody, but as opposed to sitting and waiting on a bigger Embiid to post him up, which is something he did at times, the game in LA, he was out, made it the entry pass a lot harder, and if nothing else, it ate up a lot of the clock.
Yeah.
And then he eventually forced a turnover on one, stuff like that. I really liked what I saw from that, because to me it shows signs of growth, signs that you're learning from your past mistakes and fixing them.
Yeah, and I like that they kind of changed stuff up. Like they had multiple people guard him at different times. They threw a couple doubles at him every once in a while, made him pass it because he's not super comfortable passing yet. I think he had four turnovers tonight. And he's been like, that's probably been his biggest weakness in his 1.5 years of playing NBA ball, is that he turns the ball over a lot. And then I forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, in general, what you said, they did a pretty good job of just giving him different looks and making him work a lot and making it as difficult as you can for a guy that's that good.
We'll wrap it up here. I was looking in our chat. We have a couple questions.
Right.
Thought we can answer. Brandon Adams, Lonzo pulling up was very smart for the 2-for-1 before Ingram. I agree.
Yeah.
He shot that long three with about 30 seconds left. That was not him just jacking up a crazy shot. That was him going 2-for-1 so the Lakers could get the last shot, which they did, albeit on a turnover. But still, that was a very smart play, another example of his IQ. The other one, Alex Henderson, what trades with KCP, Lopez, Randall, and Clarkson could get us a top 10 pick? I don't think anything's getting us a top 10 pick, but I certainly think there's a possibility of getting a first-round pick. Do you think any of those guys could net a first-round pick in a trade?
Nah. I mean, like, the best asset in that group is Randall, and he's a free agent, so nobody's going to give up that big of an asset to get him. Lopez and KCP are expiring contracts, and they've been pretty up and down this year, so nobody's giving up anything of value to get them. And Clarkson, you know, his contract's still fairly big. Even though he's been playing a lot better, he's, you know, mostly a pretty replaceable player in the NBA. There's a lot of guards that can do the stuff that he does. So, you know, none of those guys are going to get you that good of a pick. Basically, the only guys that will is like Lonzo and Ingram.
I think the only person in there that might be able to get a late first would be Clarkson. But, yeah, I mean, he, after having the season that he had last couple of years, it's hard to say that this is not just kind of an aberration, that this isn't he's basically just been too up and down for somebody to take that risk when there's multiple years left on that contract. Lorenzo asks, thoughts on the Lakers winning more than 30 games? They're I believe 9-15 now, which is a right at a 30-win pace, just shy of a 31-win pace. Do you see them breaking 30 wins this year, Hani?
It's going to be close. I think 30 would be like the number that I would have put them at before the season. I guess the promising thing is that their defense has been so good that it feels fairly sustainable that they can be at this level all year, and then hope for a couple like wins against teams resting guys in April, I guess. But I would, like, 30 wins or so is right about where I would put it. There's like a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. I think 30 probably would have been higher than I would have expected at the beginning of the season. So the fact that it's still a debate this late in the year is fun. It's nice to root for a fun team. We have two things. We'll end on first, talk a little bit about the fact this started off a 4-game road trip. They go to Charlotte tomorrow by the time you're listening to this, probably. They go to Charlotte on Saturday, have a couple days off before the Knicks on Tuesday, and then play the Cavaliers on Thursday. Which, quick side note, the Cavs game on Thursday, they go Cavs at Cavs, home versus Golden State, at Houston, at Golden State. They will probably be dead after that.
So will I.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy these possible wins while you can. But what do you think? I know we talked about wins and losses aren't really a successful barometer or a barometer for a successful road trip. I guess, what are you kind of looking out of the team for these next three games?
Honestly, stuff like tonight where they're playing with a lot of effort against teams that are better than them, that are fighting for the playoffs. Anything you can get out of that is impressive to me. And then on top of that, just, you know, the composure that these guys like Ingram and Lonzo are playing with right now, continuing that trend against good teams is like the most important thing for me. Because if they can kind of show just flashes of what they can be in the future and do that consistently against good teams, then I'm set. I don't care if they lose games.
I almost forgot. I was going through my tabs to make sure I touched everything. Andrew Bogut tonight. Everybody, everybody hates Andrew Bogut on Lakers Twitter.
He's all white.
He's alt-right with me. He plays 11 minutes tonight. Luke said he was going to play more because of Embiid. Maybe don't play him anymore. Hani, do you have any guess on what his defensive rating was tonight?
All right, so I was looking at this box score website that we use and looking at what our worst lineup was, and it was one that they played for our two worst lineups. One of them played for 8 minutes, one of them played for 3 minutes. One was a -4, one was a -7, or -4, -7. So I'm going to assume that is – you said defensive rating?
Yeah.
It was like, 130.
You're almost there. 134.7 was his defensive rating tonight, with an offensive rating of 94.8. That is a net rating of -39.9.
Oh, God.
Maybe don't play Andrew Bogut anymore. Which that's not even the worst net rating tonight, because big shout out to Amir Johnson, who had a defensive rating of 135.1, offensive rating of 72. He had a net rating of -63. He only played 9 minutes, but they were 9 great minutes. Last thing, Hani, this is your segment because I haven't been on Twitter tonight. Magic Johnson fired off some tweets after the game tonight. Let's hear them.
All right, so this is going to be a recurring segment probably because, well, if Magic keeps tweeting, because Magic tweets are amazing. So, all right, so this is his first tweet was, this is about 5 tweets about the game. They weren't all right after each other. He sent like a couple of them first and then waited like 30 minutes and then kept tweeting. All right, first one is, my at Lakers and the Sixers treated fans to another thriller tonight, this time with a Lakers win. Cool. Second one, the young at Lakers and Sixers are two of the most exciting teams in the NBA. Fans will be enjoying these young and talented players for many years to come. I agree, Magic. Next one is, I was happy to see Brandon Ingram hit the game-winning three-point shot. It takes his confidence to another level. Wow, we talked about that tonight. This one's amazing. Lonzo Ball's pace of play was great against the Sixers. He needs to play fast every single night, which, as our good friend Damon Rangula said, don't you have his number? And then, what a special night for Lonzo. 10 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and 4 blocks, which is something that I pretty much tweeted tonight.
So, Magic Johnson, for those that have watched Parks and Rec, would be like if Perd Hapley owned it or was a GM of an NBA team and was given Twitter. Just tweets the most obvious stuff.
It's so funny that the president of basketball operations for the most storied franchise in the NBA gets on Twitter to be like, yeah, our point guard should be doing that more often.
Exactly. Yeah, and Domin had the perfect response. Maybe just text him that. I actually stopped following Magic and started following at Magic's tweets, which is a parody Magic account that is so spot on that every time I read the tweet, I think, oh God, did Magic really just tweet that? Before I realize that I don't follow Magic. At Magic's tweets, only tweet tonight. Dang it, Ingram is better than Lonzo. So we will end on that. We had a pretty good crowd tonight. I appreciate everybody for coming on, watching us tonight. Appreciate the questions. We'll try to, if you guys leave your questions in the chat, we'll try to, end of every show, get to some of those. For, I believe the iTunes is
fixed. Yeah, we're now. Back up.
Yeah, so we're back on iTunes. Give us a subscription there. You can follow us on Twitter at Lakers Outsiders, at the website, LakersOutsiders.com.
Like us on Facebook.
Yes, like us on Facebook. And yeah, I think that is all the social media we have. So for Hani, this is Jacob signing off. Have a great day.
Grateful Dead.